Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment. The greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it. This quote can bring us to the same clarity as bite off more than you can chew and then chew it. Life is not a contest. Only ego wants to make the contest that are designed to convince us it's possible to lose. There is no losing when we're aligned with life. As we hear often in this practice, the process is the outcome. We reach for the stars, and what we get is the joy of reaching for the stars. We're not going to get something as a result of aiming high. What we'll get from aiming high is the joy of aiming high. Today, let yourself be aware of what the heart wants to reach for, and give yourself the pleasure of feeling the heart reaching. Record and listen.
What we do is what we get?
You can't say it in more ways than that.
The quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention?
It's amazing how it all points to the same place.
It is. I think we're on to something.
I think you're right. All right, here we go. Here's our first caller.
Right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rebecca.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hi. You know, the handle that I was looking at is it's not what, it's how. That's the one
yes.
that struck me about this
yep.
one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know,
yep.
yesterday after Ashwini read the assignment, I just saw my whole life flash before my eyes because this quote and assignment, I just saw from how systematically how we all, I guess, are conditioned to go for the content, you know, from a little kid, you know, winning the first medal at an athletic thing that I just love doing the flips and stuff, and then they give you a medal for something, you know, and then it becomes something that you are trying to win or trying to get. And
I just have to go to that. Right, that's such a perfect picture of how we go from the joy of doing the flips to we have to leave the joy of doing the flips, because what's important now is not the flips. Not to doing the flips. What's important now is the medal.
Yeah. You know, and these people are grown-ups, and they're all organized, and they must know that what really counts is that medal or that trophy.
We're not here to have fun, clearly, because they're not having fun.
Yeah.
So we must really be missing the point here.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And the amount of suffering in that. You know, because one's whole life becomes, whether you get it or not, because, you know, I've had plenty of times I've gotten it and plenty of times I haven't gotten that, whatever it is, you know, the raise or the promotion or the job or the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, it's suffering, you know, because we leave the heart for the process for the content, the what for the, we leave the how for the what.
Yes, and what you've just said is we leave non-suffering for suffering. So it doesn't, the importance of that is it doesn't matter if you get the job, the promotion, the person, the house, the money, it doesn't matter. It's all happening in the realm of suffering because the of getting that is going to be followed by the oh no of losing. It just is, and we can all attest to it.
Yeah.
Right? So that clarity that you just brought out of the difficulty is we leave the world of non-suffering, the joy of just participating in whatever is going on in life, to enter the world of suffering, the will I, won't I, can I, can't I, do I, don't I. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings up a question that I struggle with, and I was listening recently to some old monastery recordings where we were talking about the blogs you wrote 2015 about spirituality and money,
And the question, the kind of the koan that it brings me is then what is the role of the promotion, the raise, the money, the big house, the dream vacation, the all that kind of stuff, you know?
What do you get out of it? I just asked somebody this in the email class. What's the payoff? Now, payoff, you know, usually, I don't want to lead the witness. What's the payoff? What have you gotten out of that?
Well, it all depends on if I'm here or not. Because if I'm here and I have a luxury car or a dream vacation or whatever, then I'm just enjoying the stew out of it, whatever it happens to be.
In the same way, you're enjoying the stew out of not having a luxury car, not having a dream vacation, not getting the job, not yet when you're here. Because here is all for you. Here, everything is for you. As soon as you leave here, then now you're in ego, and now you're in contest land, the land of suffering, and what's for you is winning. Getting, having, right? And that's duality. So you might get that some of the time, but you're not going to some of the time. And, you know, Rebecca, when we look at egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, there are people on that continuum from not having to having, not getting to getting, who seem to be having and getting a lot more than other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, it doesn't mean they're enjoying it more. It doesn't mean they're doing a better job. It doesn't mean anything. It just means on that continuum, depending on where a person is with whatever karma, they might be getting and having a lot more than somebody else or a lot less than somebody else. But over here in the land of non-suffering, in the land of here, everything is for you.
Mm.
Everything is for you. Didn't get that job? Wow. This is a workshop. Okay. How do I abandon the human being when the voices say, but you, there's something wrong with you because you didn't. How do I continue to choose unconditional love? How do I stay in the land of non-suffering, the land of non-duality? That's my workshop. That's the workshop I'm in right now. And before long, when we really get it, oh, thank God I didn't get that job. You know, if I'd gotten that job, I would have thought I was a big deal and I was on my way to somewhere and I'd have been unconscious for God knows how long.
Oh, that is so true. I mean, that's so my experience, you know, that it really doesn't matter, you know, when we are in that. It's all for me. Like, I'm sitting here looking at this bright green grass and clover or whatever on the ground, and like, I couldn't take any more pleasure in anything than I'm taking in this right now because I'm here, you know.
That's right.
It's just
that's
it. All for us. Yeah.
It's all for us. All right. Well, you and that graph, you keep having a good time.
We will.
All right.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rebecca. It really is that process, right, Cherry, that we go for, we jump and do flips for the sheer joy of it, and then we're given a medal and then conditioned to move towards getting the medal, which we may or may not ever get. And so the joy of backflips is gone. And that is
lost
part of the
everything.
Workshop. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
lost everything with the hope of getting something. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, exactly. It's just a cruel shift of attention from process to content. And then we have to learn that we can be in the process of joy without getting the medal. And I think that's what you and Rebecca were looking at, that we can be in the process of joy without getting the medal. And all of what we are told is what we need to acquire is actually focusing us on the satisfaction, because sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But the joy of doing backflips can always be experienced.
Yes, yes. And, you know, that last thing Rebecca said about sitting there enjoying the graph, that's what an awful lot of people going down this path get to. You know, I could go do that. I could. But, you know, I'm gonna have to give up the joy of being here with this graph.
Yes.
It's just not worth it. There's just nothing out there that's going to give me more pleasure, more satisfaction, more joy, more gratitude than being right here with this. So I think I'll just stay here.
Mm-hmm. And if we have been deeply conditioned to go for the content, it takes giving up the payoff of ego in order to receive the joy in life, because it's a very different quality, and the ego puts up so much resistance. But there's a way in which you feel, oh, whatever the feeling that ego promises is what we're addicted to, or the lack of getting it, and we have to give that up or let it go before we can enjoy the beauty of the grass.
Yeah, and Sequoia started us off on a brilliant conversation at the monastery on Sunday morning, with talking about the awareness of how every little tiny thing that happens to us in life is pointing us in this direction. And there's no mistake in it, and we could say there's no hurry, though we don't want to dawdle because it's more fun to be here than to be gone, but that it takes what it takes for us to move through the conditioning, through the karma that we're carrying on our backs, to dropping that, seeing through that, realizing that, that connection, and that's what we're doing all the time. So the voices want to make that a big mistake, but it's not a big mistake. We're where we are because this is where we need to be in our path to here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're where we are because we need to be. We're here.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in the right place. We're always in the right place. The voices are always saying we're in the wrong place, and that's because we're always in the right place.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Mary Beth. And
Hello, Mary Beth.
I had a couple. Hi. As regarding our assignment yesterday, I had a small thing, like what would make me happy in this moment, and what am I grasping after? And I always want to look good. Like I feel like everything, I put all my all the bad things that happen to me or things that I don't want to be happening have to do with the way that I look. And so I decided after reading the assignment, what would make me happy is if my hair looked good. So I blew dried my hair yesterday. And that did make me feel better. And so that was one small thing about the assignment yesterday.
Mary Beth?
Yes.
Are you going somewhere connected, or can I speak to that one?
You can speak to it. I had another question to ask you after you speak to it.
Okay, good. Let's speak to this one then. Because that is never going to be the source of happiness.
Right.
Pleasing the ego, right? Because one day your hair is just not going to look good. That's all there is to it. If you live long enough, if you're blessed enough to live long enough, it is really not going to be the way ego says it ought to look, right? And so what's really going to make you happy in the moment, the real happy for Mary Beth, is unconditional love. Because how she looks is completely irrelevant to what she is. And that's what we have to be going for. So, can you blow dry your hair and that's good? Absolutely. Why not? But that cannot be the source of your well-being because it's a passing show.
I get that. And I was listening to Ginny and Roth, and she was talking about how for a lot of women, everything would be better in my life if I just lost the weight. And so what is up for me is everything would be better in my life if I just looked different, if I just look better. And so I get that that is a not a good trajectory.
We call it crapola, Mary Beth. Okay.
Yes.
We call it crapola. Yeah.
Yes. So that's a lot of crapola, and I get it. And also,
sort of.
Yesterday, doing that little thing to make me happy, it did make me feel happy and better in the moment. And I'm just wondering how, as I'm kind of observing my mind and seeing these different things that it's telling me to do and things that I want, and how do I deal with seeing the all the crapola that comes up about I'm not good enough here, I'm not, you know, look at, you don't have a lot of friends, and you know, like all these things keep coming up, and I'm just observing them, but sometimes
okay.
I get...
Okay, couple of questions. Have you done the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat?
No.
Please do it. Do you have a recording and listening? Do you have a recording and listening practice?
Yes.
Okay. Then until you can get to the retreat, that's the one to develop. And here's how it is. My best encouragement. So you make the recording. You've heard people talk about the unconditional love recording.
Yes.
Okay. And so I choose unconditional love. That could be interspersed with, I choose to be happy, I choose joy, whatever it is. But I choose unconditional love because that's really what you're closing in on, right? The care for Mary Beth is so conditional that it's just causing her to suffer constantly, right? Because you are believing what those voices are saying. You're identified with ego and believing what the voices are saying. So you make that recording of I Choose Unconditional Love. And then the other recording you make, a lot of them, I hear a voice in my head that says, I would be happy if blah, blah, blah. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. I'll be happy when I'm living in unconditional love. Nothing else is going to result in the happiness that I'm seeking. You don't have many friends. I hear a voice in my head say that I don't have very many friends, and that's supposed to mean that there's something wrong with me, but that's a lie. And then you go for what is true for you, right? I'm learning about friendship. I'm learning to love unconditionally. My life is getting bigger. My heart is expanding. I'm seeing more. I'm seeing more clearly. Okay, every time you hear one of those voices, you record it that way as the lie that it is. If I looked better, I hear a voice in my head say that if I looked better, I would be happier. That's a lie. I will only ever be as happy as I can be. And as long as happiness is conditional on anything, I will never be happy. So I'm practicing being happy right now. And the things that make me happy right now, and then look around. Okay, Rebecca pointed out that just looking at how beautiful the grass is. Of course, I don't know where you live. You might not have grass. We're just getting grass in California, okay? We're backwards to everybody else. So, but you look around for the things that make you happy, and you acknowledge that those bring happiness to you, and they open you. Yeah, like that? You with me?
I'm with you. When and where is the retreat that you spoke of?
Go online, livingcompassion.org. They're all scheduled for the summer this year because more people can get away and come to us in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll change your life, Mary Beth. It'll change your life. I'm looking forward to having you here. But in the meantime, let me know how this is going, okay?
Thank you, Sherry.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary Beth. I just love that that conversation, Sherry, because, you know, even it doesn't matter how hard you practice or how much you practice, there are always those places where unconditional love for the person isn't there. And wherever there is self-hate, I heard something, wherever there is self-hate, there is an inability to feel whole. I read somewhere yesterday a beautiful quote that illustrated it. It says, if you are in your mind, you do not experience your eternity. You can never be whole because wherever there's self-hate, you don't experience yourself as the whole of true nature.
Mm. Boy, that's clear, isn't it?
Yes, and that's so clear. Every place that there is that block to love, we want to go in and remove it. Because
yes.
Otherwise we don't experience ourselves unconditionally the way in which the eyes of God sees us. It's mm-hmm. just been such a crucial practice to find all of those places and remove them, within quotes.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, yes, turn our attention away from them. I was seeing when you were saying that, one of the great cons that ego puts forth is, if you had enough money, then you would be happy. Well, in the United States right now, we are watching people who have billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they're not happy. It's not enough. And so I just think that's a really important, we see really beautiful people who just go after surgery, then the next surgery, then the next surgery to be more beautiful. Because no matter how beautiful they are, they're not beautiful enough. There's never enough power. If I had power, then I would be happy. All of that is a lie. And it's very sad when we can see how people are bamboozled by that and the suffering in their lives simply because they are incapable of enjoying what they have. That's our deal. As soon as we can enjoy what we have, we are open to having everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Hello, good morning. Boy, I think that's so funny how you get the sense that you're going to be on right before you're going to get on.
Proving intuition is alive and well. And when we talk about whole mind, that's the deal, right? We're all here
yeah.
together. So we, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, as I was in the queue today, I was experiencing a lot of resistance to being on the call, and it was showing up as like this nausea in my body. And what I was practicing with was, just practicing coming back to unconditional love. And and finding that if I could keep my attention there, the physical sensations were shifting. And I have a question around...
Kate, shifting, finish that thought. They were shifting.
Sorry.
Yeah, in what way? Because that's important for people.
Dissipating.
Dissipating. Ooh,
yes.
That's a... You notice conditioning would like you to say shifting and then just move on. Right, because with that, there's an implication that, well, you know, you're still sick at your stomach, but you're a little bit different sick at your stomach than you were, right? But no,
mm-hmm.
actually, the sensations are dissipating.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you for that, because I loved when you asked me and I was on the spot. I actually didn't think. It just, a word popped in that was accurate, more accurate.
Yes, just like you knew you were going to be unmuted.
That's right.
Same process. Life is talking to you.
Yes. Well, I've really been looking at physical sensations for quite a while in practice, And it seems that overt voices are less present mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. physical sensations way more present. And I mm-hmm. sort of, I grew up probably as most of us, but suppressing a lot of emotion. And so now these stronger emotions are here. They feel much more believable than the voices do to me now because of recording and listening. And I guess, well, my question is about using physicality to come to presence. Like I'm practicing with, you know, many of our still, what I think of as sort of still and quiet practices of like meditation and recording and listening. And I'm finding that the energy can just get trapped in low. And I'm not sure if that's a story for me or if, but it seems that like if I can move and free the energy, it assists in all of that. And I guess I'm just curious to hear,
well,
have some guidance in that.
Yeah. Yes. And first of all, what you're noticing is exactly spot on. The voices can yell in people's heads unnoticed, right? Because it's just me talking, thinking. I'm just talking and thinking. And then we catch on to that, and they're going to take the next step down, which is sensations. So people will say to me, you know, I don't hear voices, and I just feel things. Okay, well, what does the feeling mean? And they can tell you exactly what the feeling means. So you don't have to hear a voice if you know, in quotes, what the feeling means. Good thing.
Right. Yes, yeah, like I'm trained
yeah.
very well.
Yeah, precisely.
Yes.
And it's a system, right? In When You're Falling Dive, we talk about first there's movement, then there's sensation, there's a thought about it, an emotional reaction to it, and a conditioned behavior that goes with it. So that little sequence is what you're describing, what you're catching on to. And so, yes, the sensations in the body hold all of that in place, right? And when something touches one of those, you know, sets off a sensation, it sets off the whole pattern, right? So there's that sensation, and now, gosh, I feel sad. And then I'm in a story, right? There's always a story that goes with it. And there's a behavior, okay? Well, I just need to cry, and then I'll feel better. Well, in exactly what you just noticed, when I cry, the sensations change. So it dissipates. But did I really need to cry in order to do that? No, I'm just trained that way. I'm just trained to believe that. So, yes, two things about that. Feeling the energy move up in your body, okay, coming from, we could say, the hara or the base of the spine, whatever, you know, and feel the energy moving up. Move it up, move it up, move it up. And you can do that just by turning attention to it and feeling the energy is everywhere in your body. It's just you're trained to keep it down low, right, because that's where a lot of the, well, most of us are, Kate. It's not. Don't take it personally, okay? That's where the more negative kinds of life experiences live. The karma is much easier to grab and hold us in the lower chakras than in the upper. And so you can feel that moving up. Moving in order to do that, yes, and bring conscious awareness to how it changes when you're engaging, especially when you're engaging your upper body, right? Get your arms involved and feel the energy come up. Feel it move from the abdomen up to the chest. You know, breathe deeper and feel what that feels like. Not that these are any places that we want to, you know, you don't want to take up kickboxing as compared to meditation. They're all, right? They're just all things that we do to see what happens. We're scientists. So when that, what happens? When that, what happens? When that, because conditioning wants us to stay stuck, wants us to be in the same thought patterns, wants us not to move physically in ways that will unearth anything, wants us, right? Because as long as we stay stuck in the same way, all of these things are not brought up into conscious awareness, and conditioning doesn't have to work as hard to control us. So, yeah, yes to all of that.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's really helpful.
Have fun.
Yes, I know. That's my mantra.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody recently who was at a gym. I can't remember if I told you folks this, but was at a gym, and the guy at the gym was saying, oh, you should box. Come and box with me. I do a boxing class. I'll do an individual appointment with you. Come box with me. And she's like, I don't want to box. That's terrifying. Boxing, that's scary. And I said, no, go do it. First of all, I think all women should box. And men should not box. Men should do other things, right? But anyway, that's just a little personal opinion there. Don't take it on her seriously. And I talked to her afterwards. She said, "Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe how much fun that was, because all this stuff got released. You know, she was taller, she was bigger, she was stronger. Through this activity." And so, yeah, do it all.
Yeah, that's my experience too. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let me know.
Okay, go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Kate. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of another fabulous show. Here is our assignment.
All right.
20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. Fear can be scary. Regret is a killer. As we practice catching life's trade winds in our sails, we realize that most of what we've been conditioned to fear is coming from ego, to protect ego, and what those sensations feel like when following life is excitement. Today, throw off egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate bowlines, and let yourself feel the thrill of sailing into uncharted territory. Keep in mind, this doesn't have to be a huge exploration. When we're learning to sail, tiny movements takes best care of us. Record and listen.
Hmm. Hmm. I fear is scary, regret is a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it? That kind of captures it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, everybody.
Sherry.
Go happy.
Treasure yourselves. Yes. Okay. Bye-bye.